And, whoa, you are listening to KKCR, Hanalei, K-A-Q-A, Kilauea. Love this song. Oh, my gosh. But guess what? It's time for Kauai Soapbox. And we are going to have a really good show today, and it is largely about what happened at the Democratic Convention this weekend in Honolulu. There will be more topics that come up, but we'll find that they're going to feather into that general discussion. And Mahana Mari is in the studio with me. Atreus is in the room here, too. Marshall's in here. And Kauai Soapbox is made possible by listeners like you in partnership with the Kauai Store.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of KKCR, its management, staff, board, members, volunteers, or underwriters.
The Kauai Store is located in Kapa'a on the highway in front of Kostilas. The store has authentic Kauai products, including clothing, snacks, art, coffee, crafts, and more. We even have local food samples. The Kauai Store products are also available online at thekauaistore.com.
KKCR and its volunteers would like to thank the following food donors for their generosity during our spring fund drive. Harvest Market and Kayla Coberly in Hanalei. Hideaway's Pizza Pub in Princeville. North Shore General Store in Princeville. The Greenery Cafe in Lihue. Ono Pops. Pauhana Pizza in Kilauea. Tiki Iniki in Princeville. Yakurus Organic Bagelry. Cousin Rich. Tiki Tacos in Kapa'a. Hanai in Kapa'a. The Be Kind Apiary. Tiny Isle Chocolate Truffles. John Gordon. Barracuda in Hanalei. Kauai Beekeepers Association. Coconut Cup in Kapa'a. Kealia Farm Market. Phytolicious Foods. Ninth Island Sports Bar and Grill. Mahalo for the Ono Grinds from KKCR.
KKCR listens to you. If you'd like to make comments or provide feedback regarding our programming, or to suggest programming you'd like to hear, go to kkcr.org, click on the contact link, and take our listener survey. Or send us a letter at KKCR, P.O. Box 825, Hanalei, Hawaii 96714. Kauai Community Radio, listening to you.
Pineapple Yoga Kauai celebrates 15 years of service in the Ashtanga Yoga tradition direct from Mysore, India. Classes 6 days a week in Kilauea. PineappleYoga.com or call 808-652-9009.
And mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio. And we are so thankful to all of our sponsors and supporters and new members that happened during our fund drive. It really makes a difference. It keeps us on the air. And I want to just give an extra acknowledgement to the people who did support us. Ian from Kilauea, Kath from Idaloo, Texas, Benjamin from Lebanon, Tennessee, Bridget Poipu, Sandy Wailua, me from Kilauea, Joe, Janie, Paulette, Josephine, Mark, Ilana from Kapa'a, and Margaret. And then I actually had a new sponsor just even this weekend when we were over, and that was Makani Christensen. So that was nice there. Marshall, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Oops. I'm very excited about the results of our fund drive. We exceeded our goal by $1,505.
Yep, now we've exceeded it by $1,605.
So, is that right?
Yes. So,
tick, tick.
Tick, tick. So thank you, listeners. Thank you for making a big difference. Thank you to all the volunteers who came in here and really, really helped. And Marshall?
Yes, ma'am.
How's it going in the national level on these campaigns? Like, today we're going to really be focusing heavily on what happened over the weekend, and oh my goodness.
Yeah, tell me.
Well, I want to go into that in a moment, but I want to just start by asking, nationally, didn't like Puerto Rico vote this weekend in the Virgin Islands? And I wondered if you had checked up, you know, it's important to not only do the Democrats and the Republicans. I think that the Green Party and the Libertarian Party, you know, that's one of the problems that we have, is that we've got a two-party system that are private clubs. They can kind of essentially hijack the whole process and just put it right into their own design.
I did take a little bit of a look at the Libertarian Party and the Green Party, got a better sense of what they're all about.
Can you just share a little bit of that?
Sure. Libertarianism, political philosophy that upholds liberty as its principal objective. Interesting about libertarianism is that this is from Wikipedia. Various schools of libertarian thought offer a range of views regarding the legitimate functions of state and private power, even calling to restrict or even to wholly dissolve coercive social institutions. So there are minarchists that think that a minimal centralized government is necessary, and anarchists who propose to completely eliminate the state. So they're serious.
Okay, but that's Wikipedia, and Wikipedia has a very, very clear bias, and so that kind of gives a little bit of a negative pitch, and that doesn't surprise me coming from Wikipedia.
Right, and that's historical, too. Here's the thing. The Libertarian Party is, boom, on the national stage because they're polling around 10%. Suddenly, there's so much dissatisfaction with the other two parties and their presumptive nominees. So they're getting a really big national look for the first time, and they just had their convention. It was a contested convention. It was very exciting by all accounts. And Gary Johnson, two-term governor of New Mexico, was nominated as for president, and Governor William Weld, two-term president of governor of Massachusetts, as vice presidential nominee. So Gary Johnson has explained to his Libertarian Party that stepping forward, he's going to be the one to explain to the American people what libertarianism is. And there's been so much of a divergence of approaches to libertarianism in the past that this is really going to solidify for America at this point what is it. And he and Governor Weld are coming from a more conservative point of view. They actually have been Republicans and are distrusted by some libertarians because of that. So they're definitely not on the radical fringe of libertarianism.
Right. Now, last time Ron Paul ran as a Republican, but he seems like a pretty strong example of the libertarian movement. And I know one very big aspect is auditing the Fed, or really bigger than that, getting rid of the Federal Reserve Bank, because many people feel that centralized banks, a central bank, is not federal, and there's not even a reserve. They have basically co-opted the ability to print money that are exchanged for treasury bonds. And so when people complain about the banksters, the Libertarian Party is really going right for the jugular, saying we don't want the Federal Reserve. To me, when I think of the Libertarian Party, that is the biggest issue. Have you followed that, Mahana, very much about the Federal Reserve?
A bit.
Yeah, and so that is a big piece, and then they are limited government, and I think that they are less prone to war, right? Like with both of our presumptive nominees, I don't really want to say that Hillary Clinton is the presumptive nominee for, I know she's claiming it.
Right. She's presuming.
She's presuming, and that's what we're really going to talk about, what happened at the Hawaii convention, because it, even though 70% of the voters statewide said Bernie Sanders, it was not represented in terms of delegates over there. You know, there was, you know, far more. There's a disproportionate amount of Hillary delegates relative to what the voters stated. But I will, you know, give a little precursor to what we're going to be talking about. And I think that the whole event went really very, very well. I thought the established Democrats that typically were the Hillary supporters were very gracious. And the head of the Democratic committee for or the chairperson for the Democratic Party for Hawaii, she was even funny, you know. It was
she was hysterical. I loved her.
Yeah, it was graceful and very loving in how that she was handling the difference. So, libertarian, get rid of the Federal Reserve, kind of cut everything back, no war. You know, they're definitely more for states' rights, home rule. Those are big pieces of that. Are they in all 50 states?
Yes, they are on the ballot in all 50 states. Yes.
That's kind of a big deal because sometimes when these secondary parties are, you know, beyond Republican and Democrat, if you're not on all 50 states, it's near impossible to really have much of a significant showing. How about the Green Party? Are they on all 50 state ballots?
No, they are currently on 20.
Oh.
And, yeah, they say that that accounts for 55% of the population and that they have active ballot campaigns in enough states to make up another 35% of the population. And then they are in court in various other places trying to get ballot access. At this point, it looks unlikely that they're going to be on all 50. Maybe they'll be on a significant number.
I know last time Jill Stein, when she would go to the debates, they literally arrested her and took her away in cuffs, you know, drug her off. You know, that was amazing. And that's before she entered the building.
Right. So Gary Johnson could make it into the debates. It takes 15. He's got to be polling at 15%.
Polling, that means when they call around, 15% of the population says, yes, we're interested in that. And,
right, in a three-way matchup.
And my guess is probably a good number of the people who are shifting their interest over to Gary Johnson might be Republicans that are nervous about Donald Trump.
Republicans, apparently there are also you know, Democrats who are looking for an alternative to Hillary Clinton. I mean, the interesting thing, though, is we don't know that much yet about their platform going forward. I did hear an interview with Gary Johnson, and he says that he represents the best of both parties. On the Democratic side, liberty, freedom, person's rights, right to make decisions in their own lives. And on the Republican side, smaller government. He says that the Libertarian Party actually represents the great middle and that we just don't know it.
Well, I can get that, you know. I mean, and I think that what I've seen is a number of Republicans that are uncomfortable with Trump. They are, you know, leaning towards Hillary Clinton because really her platform is far more Republican than it is traditionally Democratic. She's very much in support of the big banks, the war machine, you know, the military-industrial complex, big pharma, big ag, big everything, you know, big everything that is corporate. Supporter of the Trans-Pacific Partnership,
absolutely.
Kind of backing off on that. So she's, you know, that she might be able to.
Some say she's carrying on the tradition of Ronald Reagan.
As a Democrat.
As a Democrat.
As a Democrat.
Right.
Yes.
Do you all believe that she should be running as a Republican?
Well, you know.
No.
I mean, no.
Actually.
I mean, the Democratic Party is. Become what moderate Republicans used to be. And you're listening to KKCR, Hanalei, KAQA, Kilauea, the station that loves you. And in the studio with me, I didn't say your last name right, so say it, Mahana.
Mahana Marai.
Mahana Marai.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so we are soon to go into discussing what happened at the Democratic Party. But before that, you know, I actually want to play a song. I don't that often play a song, but part of what motivated me in this song, this is a song by Michael Fronte called Good to Be Alive Today. I think it is a really good song, really on point with, you know, what has come up, especially like under this presidential election. It seems like he is almost, you know, specifically, you know, brought in the presidential election elements, you know, that are in the song, what's going on in the world. And, you know, I think that what happened at Port Allen with this crash that happened, you know, a week before, you know, was so sad. And I was reading, you know, in the article that was out there. I didn't realize at first, you know, Michael Cabe, like his there's another Marshall, you know, his boy's Marshall, and I believe Philip, the young man, you know, birthday celebration, and they passed away. That's Susie and Alan Faya's grandkids, the father Michael, wonderful person from our community. And then when I see the story of love between, you know, one of the diving guides, so sad, you know, it's just so heartbreaking when we lose people, the pilot, everybody, you know. I think the whole island reeled with some pain over that.
And our hearts and prayers go out to all the Ohana that were affected in that horrible tragedy the other day.
Very much so. So I wanted to play this song, even though it's saying it's good to be alive today. It's like every day we have to really value it. And you know, when I was thinking about this song, I'm thinking about all these people who aren't alive today, both in our armed forces. We're right after Memorial Day in our armed forces, and these people from the Middle East and the north of Africa who aren't alive today because of aggressive foreign policy. And, you know, when you just think of the wholesale tragedy that has happened over there to those people, we have got to stop it. We have got to stop it. And to me, that's really what this election is about. We have one candidate, Hillary Clinton, who, as Secretary of State, was very much somebody who was pushing these wars, moving towards them. They are the big donors for her, you know, these companies that made so much money on the war.
We have a caller with an announcement, Felicia.
Oh, okay. So let me finish this statement.
Yeah.
Then I'll listen to the caller, and then I will play the song.
Got it.
So what we heard in the major press, and then certainly at this event, was people so fear-based over Donald Trump, like, oh my gosh, there's going to be a big war. I'm feeling like, well, aren't they paying attention? We already have a big war.
Exactly.
So are you off on there? Here, try again.
Hello.
Yes. So we already have a big war. So We've got to work on this. So, and it's good to be alive today. It's speaking to that. Let me take my caller. Aloha, you're on the air.
Hi, Felicia.
Hi.
Hi,
Shaila.
That was very beautiful what you said, and I do feel my condolences go out to the families that were affected with that Port Allen crash. It was very heartbreaking.
Very, very heartbreaking.
Very. It was really sad. So I feel kind of embarrassed to call at the time where we're talking about death and war to announce we're having a get-together and a rally for the against the monument expansion in Lihue, and we're going to hold it in Lihue at 4:30 at the state building in this the Brown building. We'll have it there, and we'll walk over to the Wilcox Elementary School, where everyone is welcome to come and join us and talk story session and eat some food.
That's today, cool. Right? So in 10 minutes, this is starting, and the state building is the three-story building right next to the new roundabout in Lihue, kind of right between the county building and Wilcox.
Yes, it's where you file your taxes and pay the taxes. It's the only state building there.
Yes. Okay. Many people don't know where it is, so I'm telling them.
Brownish tannish building.
Okay.
And we're wearing white shirts to show unity against the expansion. And
the expansion of Papahanao Mokuakea, that was come up last week, and it will come up again next week with the people who are in support of it. So we'll be hearing both sides of it. So this is a 200-mile expansion in both lateral directions, and then it'll be 1,250 miles long, I believe. So it is an area maybe like the west coast of the United States. It's about approximately what that size is. So this is, so you are representing the Fisher people?
Yes, actually I represent a lot of people I know who fish in those areas and actually fished in northwestern Hawaiian Islands and lost their fishing grounds. So.
Okay, so that's happening in 10 minutes, and so right in Lihue, and then afterwards there will be some information.
Anybody's welcome. Even if you're pro-expansion, come on down, we welcome you.
Okay, and I encourage, cross-dialogue, because that's how we really come up with the best outcomes, is when people get clarity by speaking to each other. So, mahalo for your call in. Any other thoughts?
I heard there's a pro-expansion rally tomorrow, but that was just something I saw on the internet.
I think that I might be getting a call towards the end of the show, and I will make sure and post where that is. It's Wednesday, I believe, in Lihue somewhere. That would be tomorrow night, and I forgive me for not remembering it. But that will get announced a little bit later, and they might be there. You might see them today, possibly at your own rally. And so I think it's the science and the policies behind it. It's not really a rally. It's an information public.
Oh, well, that means better. That's better than a rally.
It's a public information discussion, and think it is some of the people from whoever heads it is going to be sharing the information. And forgive me for not having all that solid.
That's
right.
All right, I'll listen in later. Thank you.
Yes, and maybe you'll see somebody there that'll have that information.
Yep, and by the way, it's raining in Lihue.
Raining in Lihue. Well, hey, the 2491 people, we got one of them in here. They know about rain.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
Aloha.
Thank you. Okay, so I wanna play this song.
And Michael Fronte was here on Island playing for us last year. He was wonderful. Were you there, Felicia? Did you hear
him? Of course I was there.
Of course, everyone was there.
He was there for the Mana Fest,
yes.
And I think that was 2 years ago because I was running for office in the Mana Fest year. Is going to be Xavier Rudd.
Oh, we're so excited. So
that's right. Okay, so I am going to. Oh, good. I've got X-Man right here because I'm not a music player very often on the show. And so, I got it right. Yay.
It's a long road.
That was Michael Fronte and Spearhead. Good to be alive today. And it is good to be alive today. You are listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea, the station that loves you. This is Kauai Soapbox with Marshall and Felicia. Mahana is in here, and get you back in there. Mahana is in here, and I have Joanna on the phone, I believe, so we're going to pull her up. Joanna, are you there?
Yeah, she should be there.
Joanna, are you there?
I don't know.
Okay, well, she can call back. Mahana, let's kind of open up this topic about what happened at the Democratic Convention. I will be honest, on Friday when I was leaving to go, I was thinking, what am I doing? You know, just like it felt a little exhausting to
exactly
go to Oahu and, you know, maybe get into
we didn't know what to expect, did we?
We didn't know what to expect. Mm-hmm. Joanna, are you on there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay.
Aloha.
Aloha, Joanna.
So we are just...
Hello, Mahana.
We are just getting the topic going, so we'll open it up, and then, you know, you'll have some things that you might want to share in.
Absolutely. So I'll just wait.
Okay, yeah, just listen for a few moments. Joanna was over there with us as well, and so... you know, to me, it was a transformational trip for the party.
Absolutely. I would like to say one thing is that we made history. This was one of the most historic state conventions that I've ever heard of. What do you think?
Well, it's the first one I've ever been to.
Correct.
I think it was the first for all three of us.
For many of us that were there.
Many of us that were there. But it was... powerful because big changes that happened. And so just giving some of the headlines, and we'll go into the detail, but I would say the headlines of change were that the chair was there was a new one elected that had been planned.
Yes.
But the person who was picked is a man named Tim Vandeveer.
Absolutely. And we all voted for him, and he won. It was so exciting. Everything that happened, just seeing democracy in action and the change and progressive Democrats standing up and being there. And we were all there not just as observers, but as actual delegates representing how Hawaii has over 70% voting for Bernie Sanders. And yet most of the super delegates were pledged to Hillary Clinton way before even our recent elections.
Nine of the ten. And then so... the majority of the people in the room were, in fact, Clinton supporters.
Correct.
But so when you're saying we, I would say...
We, I mean our group from Kauai.
Yeah, but actually, you know, even at our table, mm-hmm. half voted for Flo, who mm-hmm. I actually really liked, mm-hmm. Flo Conkey, and...
we had some great options to choose from.
There was actually four really good people, but let me say what the significance of Tim Vandeveer is for the listener who doesn't know this. Is that this is a Bernie supporter. The
yes.
other three options were Hillary Clinton supporters, two of whom, including Florence Conkey mm-hmm. and Jace, I can't even say his last name.
With the M,
a Slavic name. Good guy. They were willing to vote for Bernie Sanders because they did recognize that even if they are Hillary Clinton supporters, Hawaii is... for, you know, Bernie Sanders.
Yes. And we really appreciate their willingness to go beyond their own personal opinion to represent what the voice of the people is here in Hawaii. And I think that was very mature and brave of them as, you know, in the political arena.
Yes. And so it was a very big deal
yes.
to make that shift. And I think something that was probably hard for people in the room is... Tim, who seemed to be liked by locals as well, you know, like, actually, I want to say, the Bernie supporters, they were not just transplants. Like, I think that's, I've lived here pretty long, but I was not born here. And none of us on the phone were born here. It was not limited to people who were new to the islands. It was a profound amount of people that are born and raised here were also Bernie supporters. But
absolutely.
Tim Vandeveer... he is originally from Austin, Texas. He's a young man. He is with Hawaii Public Radio. He gave a very impassioned speech. But that was a big, big shift. And then what seemed to come out of the discussion, but it wasn't said bluntly on the stage there. So I'm just qualifying it that I don't have some factual document in front of me, but that the unions were very disappointed.
Yes, you could feel it in the air in the room. They were very disappointed. Now, for myself, I wasn't familiar with really any of the candidates. I had heard about Flo. And so we were invited on the first day of the convention, which began at 7 in the morning, and we were waiting in line for 2 hours to get into the convention. And during lunchtime, the people that were Bernie supporters were also Tulsi supporters, and we went outside, and Tulsi addressed us. And before she went on, Tim Vandeveer, our future chair, was the first time that I got to meet and see him. Very impressed with him as a speaker, very impressed with his passion, very much impressed that he was a Bernie Tulsi person, like a lot of us that were, you know, delegates to be there. And the fact that he won as the new party chair is just very exciting to me, and has, you know, really fired up my passion yet again for all the things that I've been involved in. Felicia and I know each other very well for years now, beginning with the Bill 2491.
Which is about the pesticide issue.
Exactly. Pesticides, buffer zones, environmental impact statement, which of course became Ordinance 960. But that's a whole nother thing. And so it was neat to just be involved with a lot of people that were there. Gary Hoosier and all the Hoosiers were there. Dylan Hoosier was chosen as a new national delegate. Very exciting.
Right. So we have 9 delegates that are representing the Bernie vote, and there will be 6 delegates. I believe that was what, or I believe I got that count right. I got to double check. And Marshall, maybe if you can look at the split on the delegates for Hawaii. From Kauai is Patricia Westinghausen.
Yes.
Who is one of Larry Rivera's granddaughters. She is really a powerhouse young woman, maybe 30 years old. She's doing a lot. She was a huge player in what happened over there in the vote. I can't remember if I got to this yet. I was starting to say what the high points were, or the big pieces were, this transition in the party leadership from a generational person from here,
yes,
to a newcomer from somewhere else. I actually, you know, cringed a little bit on that, because I know that that's very hard for a lot of people, and I respect the community that has generations, yes, here. So I know that that's a big change. He had many people who supported him who were generationally from here, but it's a new person, a young man, lived here maybe 10 or 12 years. That was one big change. The withdrawal of support from some of the large donors that have been there in the past, that's another big thing. But people are already having small donations, just like in the spirit of Bernie Sanders is going, okay, because that was the big thing. He was saying, keep the money out of politics. And that,
exactly,
was the central piece of what his statement was, is that we have to walk the walk and talk the talk. I mean, not just talk the talk, but walk the walk. We have to, if we're saying we want Bernie and we want what Bernie represents, which is grassroots democracy.
Which is what America was founded on.
Yes, or at least that's what we're taught America was founded on.
Correct.
That's the ideal that we project. And so, okay, let's walk the talk.
Exactly.
Right? Let's walk the talk. So that was a big change. But then the other very big change was the vote to get rid of the superdelegates.
I mean, that's one of the most historic things that could happen in a convention such as this. That's one of the main reasons we were there, was to bring about real change.
So in 2020, Hawaii will not have any superdelegates. They'll all be pledge delegates.
That's correct.
Awarded proportionately.
And
yes,
we are now one of 5 states, including Maine, Alaska, Vermont, Colorado, and now Hawaii, that have
made the change,
chose to abolish superdelegates. Now, for our readers, you want to explain what superdelegates are and why they have been important in the past, and why we're trying to why we did just abolish this now?
We can say why we abolished it now, but do you want to tell the listeners what a superdelegate is, Marshall?
Sure. They are they have superpowers. They can vote for whoever they like. It really doesn't matter how their state voted or whatever else. And most of them actually declared who they were going to vote for before the voting of the people took place. So their role, actually, they were created by the party to give the party establishment some control in case the voters go wild do something like, you know,
vote for somebody that is outside the establishment.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah,
imagine that.
Know, they've got to have some. You know, the irony is that the superdelegates are now Bernie Sanders' only hope, and he's clinging to that.
Maybe we'll see. I mean, there is some irony in that. Like in Hawaii here, we had 9 out of 10 that were, you know, saying they're going to vote for Hillary. I did go and speak to, I believe, all 9 superdelegates that were there.
That was amazing. Thank you for doing that.
Representative Mark Takai was not there. Very sad. He's got pancreatic cancer. He wasn't able to make it to the event. He had one of his people, his assistants, come in and speak for him. It was a very heart-wrenching moment, yes. You know, because he's going to not run next time, and it's going to be the fight of his life to beat this. Pancreatic cancer is a very serious cancer. But I did go around and speak to them. I made a point to sit and speak with all of them. I spoke nicely. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I really want to mention names because I want to, like, trash on our elected officials, but one of our... should I go ahead? With one of the senators, we had one senator who was, she spoke from the stage. Well, that's Mazie Hirono.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like, this was the thing that I observed with the people who were pro-Hillary, is they almost never even mentioned Hillary.
Exactly. I found that very interesting, where all the Bernie people spoke of Bernie, spoke of Tulsi, but the Hillary people seemed to be... not dispassionate, for sure.
Oh, but the main thing I heard, and we can pull Joanna in for this, the main thing I heard was a fear-based message that says, we need to beat Trump. Is that what you heard, Joanna?
Absolutely. I concur. As a matter of fact, I found it kind of funny that some people have posted some papers that said, we are more afraid of the TPP and non-ending war and GMOs and poisons, I believe it said, than a wall, something like that. Just to make a point, there definitely was
people were saying that they were more worried about Hillary's platform than, you know, necessarily contemplating.
Well, like I've been saying to the people, instead of choosing the lesser of two evils, you know, vote for the greater good. And that's what we believe Bernie Sanders' message, his career. If you look at everything that he's done over the last 30-something years, he is consistent. He is transparent. He stands by what he believes. He doesn't, as the term here all weekend was flippy-floppy. He doesn't flippy-floppy. And that's what a lot of, you know, politicians, they seem that they talk one way and then they talk the other way, trying to... you know, to get both sides of an issue. And I really respect people in the political system that really stand by what they believe. I mean, that's something that, you know, some of our politicians here, I'll use Gary Hoosier as example, consistently says and stands by what he believes. That would be Councilman Gary Hoosier. And I really appreciate when people do that, because I think people are really disillusioned with politics because there's a lot of corruption inherent in the system.
And so being a little bit of a piece of what happened there, there was a big full-screen headshot of Bernie Sanders, maybe, you know, it was a tight headshot, shoulder point to shoulder point in his head, big head talking to the group. It was his major talking points of what his platform is adapted for Hawaii.
Correct.
But we heard him speak, and he spoke to the real jugular of the issues.
Exactly.
And then for Hillary, she basically had an ad. She just, it was like a campaign ad.
She didn't even speak. It was, and it had this crazy kind of techno music in the background, and it had kids. And
but it was, what it was is free early child care, which is a piece of Bernie's platform
correct.
That she has now adapted. But to see this contrast of the real meat and potatoes of what the country is facing, people being incarcerated, people losing their homes, people not being able to get medical things, not being able to afford education, relentless wars. He spoke to the real thing.
He spoke to us directly through the teleprompter almost, he was speaking to each one of us.
He was speaking to us directly.
Yes.
And then
Hillary's.
Bart Dame,
yes.
Who became the Democratic National Council man. So he will...
Congratulations, Bart.
Bart will be there, and he will be one of our super delegates. So that is another one where we are going to get a Bernie vote. But it goes over, and it affects the main platform of the national piece. But his... You know, I've been contacting him all day, and I think he said okay, but I wanted to actually, hopefully by the end of this show, I will be able to get his statement, because he had the pivotal statement.
Oh,
it
yes.
was such a powerful call to action about what really matters in the country, what it is to be actually representing the people.
Yes.
So that was powerful. Maisie spoke up, and I felt like what she said is, Hillary and I have been friends for a long time.
Yep.
And that's not a good reason to vote for somebody.
And that's great, but I mean, that's...
Can I say something about that?
Yes.
Because, I had a chance to ask Macy. I think that when she started, based on what they were saying to her, I know her heart was in a good place. As a matter of fact, she talked about fighting, protesting Vietnam War. The interesting thing is that she's talking about what she used to do, but now she is supporting Hillary, who was, as you know, behind supporting Iraq War, who was behind Libya's his disaster, who was behind Syria's disaster,
yes.
who's trying to get rid of the current president.
Clarifying that Hillary Clinton mm-hmm. was the Secretary of State that was initiating, even against yes. the wanting of the White House and the military to go into both Libya and Syria, and that is...
Correct.
Yes, that's correct.
You see that video when they ask her about Gaddafi, and she's laughing about it. We came, we Oof. Saw, he died, and she's laughing about it. It's a human being, and there are thousands of children who have lost their lives, and so I see that disconnect with this woman.
Yes.
So same thing with Macy. So she's saying that she wants peace, but then she's supporting somebody who is known as a... So it's a warmonger. So I feel going to that, there is definitely still what happened this weekend. It's amazing because definitely they opened the door. They saw, thanks to Bart's words, that they needed to open the door to new blood, if you want, to these new people that want to help, because there's a need for a transformation.
Exactly.
However, many of the people who have been there for a while, I feel... Perhaps because they're watching just CNN, and if you do that, you're blinded to the real situation.
Absolutely. And even MSNBC.
Well, all the news media.
Absolutely, absolutely. CNN, ABC. Mm-hmm. So they're unaware of who this woman is. And younger people are so savvy because they're getting their news from shows like yours. They're watching Democracy Today, the Young Turks and whatnot.
And so social media.
Aware
yes.
They have all the information. They are really aware of who this woman is. They have seen her flip-flopping again and again and again. So we went there for sure. We see the need to transform the Democratic Party. But I don't think that they need to open up their eyes to the fact that we're going there to help. We feel the Democratic Party has all this potential. It's not that we are going to follow blindly and say, okay, we are Democrats now, and we are just... I mean, personally, I could not just support Hillary knowing what I know. So, yes,
Correct.
We need to defeat Trump. Our best bet to defeat Trump is to support Bernie Sanders. He beats him in every poll by about 20 points. Hillary is losing to him in many polls. And now, when you ask them, many of these people were telling me, oh, you cannot trust the polls. However, when this started... About one year ago, Bernie was losing to her, and those polls were okay.
Right.
So are they going to ignore the same polls that were showing this? It's just ridiculous. So they really need to step it up and support Bernie, because otherwise they're not going to only lose the White House. They're going to lose the two houses. I mean, people, the independents who are going to define this, do not like her. They do not trust her. The young people do not trust her. So
for good reason.
And then thank you, Joanna. And I either have to put you on hold, or I have had a caller holding for about 10 or 15 minutes. So you're going to go on hold. We're going to bring the other caller up.
Of course, of course.
Thank you, Joanna.
You're welcome. Thank you, boy.
Aloha, you're on the air. Thank you for holding.
Hi, it's Aria.
Hi, Aria. How are you? You were also at the event.
Hello, Aria.
I was.
So tell us your thoughts.
Okay, I just wanted to make a comment about the superdelegate resolution.
Okay, are you able to speak more directly into your phone?
Yes, is this better?
That's better.
Okay, I just wanted to make a clarification on the superdelegate resolution. I know that it's kind of complicated for some people to follow if you're not in the grind of things, but the superdelegate resolution that passed doesn't set any policy that forces anyone to take any action. The resolution is something that we passed to urge the National Democratic Convention to abolish superdelegates in 2020, and it urges our elected officials to vote with the people, with Bernie Sanders.
Okay, so this
it doesn't
is,
hold anyone to that.
This is really important clarification then. So I thought I was told that 2020 it would mean that there are no superdelegates, but you're saying the national committee makes that choice and not it's not local.
Yes. So I think we're now the fourth or fifth state that has passed a resolution at the state level to bring it to the national convention, which will be on the platform to urge the Democratic Party to change their rules about the superdelegates. Because Hawaii doesn't set those rules. It's the national committee that sets the rules on the electorate.
Okay, so thank you for that clarification. So also for the woman for the Democratic National Committee, that was Kate Stanton, is that correct?
Yeah,
I have that name right.
And Bart.
Kate, we talked about Bart. Bart is a very strong Bernie supporter. Kate is a Hillary supporter. So I'm not sure if she will vote for Bernie or vote for Hillary. I think one thing that probably came out, and I'm asking for your opinion on this, Aria, because it's all of this is just opinions, that it had to have been abundantly clear to these superdelegates that were there, most of them were there, that the people really are very resentful that the superdelegates are unwilling to reflect the will of the people.
Well, it undermines our voting process. I mean, so we go out and vote. We take time off of work, out of our busy lives, to go be part of this that has been part of our country's, foundation for generations, and suddenly our votes don't count because of superdelegates. It's a really powerful piece of information there that I think...
Well, it should be. And Aria, did you have that same reflection? That you think that they kind of grasped how frustrated people were?
I think that it was very obvious that the people that were in the room were feeling like if there are going to be people that are representing the vote, that it should reflect what happened on the presidential preference poll.
Correct.
Yes.
That was really clear. And I know that I've spoken personally with Maisie. I've spoken with Brian Schatz, and he's heard everyone. They've heard people's concerns, and they've heard their asks to please support what the people have voted for.
Yes.
The governor hasn't come out and said where he stands on the issue, and other superdelegates haven't actually come out and said where they are. But I think that there's still time to change.
There is time to change, and I was respectful, but really I spoke to all of them that were there, and mm-hmm. So I'll just call it out, like with Brian Schatz, and then it was more his person standing on his wing to be making the comment, but they're saying he made a commitment and he has to be loyal to his commitments, and I said, well, that commitment was made before anybody put in their name of who was running, so that the commitment needs to be to the office and to represent the voters, and the loyalty needs to be to the voters, because if you make a commitment before you even know who's going to be running, you are not committing to democracy. You know, I was respectful, but I was firm.
Thank you.
With all of them, what did he say to you? Did he own it? I mean, like, I really didn't want to let him go on that. And when he was speaking, his his message was so Bernie's platform. So he was the only one who was speaking where the audience kept, you know, raising their signs and saying, Bernie, Bernie, Bernie.
Because we have one of those signs right here.
We have one of those signs right here. But his message is so on point with Bernie's message that it's like, I think that they hurt their credibility. Here he's a very progressive senator.
Mm-hmm. I voted for him.
Yeah, I mean,
and to hear that he didn't want to represent the will of the people. So he says he has commitment. Who's he committed to? That's what we
right.
need to know. You know,
so
I've already made a commitment. Well, shouldn't you be committed to we the people?
Yes, and Aria, what is your thought on that?
I heard the same thing that you guys heard from him. I do respect his position in that he's had relationships with Senator Clinton or Secretary Clinton for a very long time. I think that I don't think we should be ousting politicians just because of their one position on a candidate for the presidency, because he is a very progressive
senator,
and he has very good progressive ideals on issues like the environment and social issues.
I
hope that people aren't going to be. I've seen a lot of things that people are threatening him with his with their vote because he's not pledging his support for Sanders, which I think is a huge mistake. But, you know, I do think that they have prematurely pledged their loyalty to somebody, and they should take into consideration what their constituents want to.
Correct.
Right. And it's in defiance of their job to pledge a loyalty like that without...
Ahead of the game.
Ahead of the game. A long time ago. She got these pledges in beforehand. Now, in my process of speaking to these groups, you know, because it's usually that's not just the one person that's sitting there or standing there, what was told to me is that there is very profound consequences if these people do not put their alliance with her, that, you know, you can lose funding, you can lose all kinds of elements of stuff. So, you know,
that sounds illegal to me.
Well, I mean, it's coercive.
It is. It's coercive. And so how can that be part of democracy?
Yeah, I think what we should be upset with is the system that they're being forced to work within.
They're being forced to work within it, but it is a broken system. You know,
right,
when
and that hopefully with these resolutions being passed, and the new leadership that's coming up within the Democratic Party will kind of restructure things and make it so that they don't have to be totally pledged to these established candidates.
Right. And I, you know what I think will be a very big piece of what happens, you know, I at least for me personally, I am really hoping, I'm just clear with my bias, right? Very clear with my bias that I am biased towards Bernie Sanders because I am biased against war.
Exactly.
That is like the biggest piece to me. But next Tuesday, there are 6 or 7 states. It's North Dakota, South Dakota, New Jersey, New Mexico, California, and Montana. Am I forgetting anybody? Marshall's going to look. Those states are all voting. It's called the penultimate primary. There will be one the following week, and I think that's Washington, D.C. But it will really matter what happens next week, because I think that if Bernie Sanders does poorly in all those states, or particularly California and New Jersey, because those have got big voting bases, Hillary has, you know, she's going to have her foothold there very, very strongly. And if Bernie does well in them, then it's going to be very difficult at that convention to not have, you know, really give strong consideration to him, because he is bringing out tens of thousands of people coming to these rallies.
But complete media blackouts. If you go on any mainstream media, you're not seeing any of this. And we're only finding this information through social media like Facebook, which has become like the most accurate news source, strangely enough, and free radio like KKCR. But if you go on any mainstream media, it doesn't talk about anything. It's just very, very bizarre.
Yes. And in alignment with that, on Sunday night, the local news in Oahu, it didn't say, oh, you know, they voted in a resolution to get rid of the superdelegates, and the party changed hands, basically. It went from the establishment to...
the Progressive Democrats.
The Progressive Democrats, and particularly, you know, the younger generation. That didn't even come up on the news.
That's newsworthy. Don't you think
that
should be...
It's very newsworthy. And I'll tell you what, when I was... I better check to make sure it didn't somehow fail. I messaged the Garden Island, the Huffington Post, and the Star Advertiser right when this stuff happened, because I thought, well, you know, I want to help them get the word out. And it didn't make the paper yesterday. I didn't see it today. It's interesting that there's silence on that. Civil Beat did a very good article.
Thank you, Civil Beat. I think it's very interesting that one of our main, you know, foundations of this country is freedom of speech. This is something we all agree on as Americans. And how much the freedom of speech has been blacked out consistently throughout this entire election is just pretty mind-blowing and mind-numbing of how can, I mean, to abolish superdelegates is a huge historic thing that happened, whether you're for it or against it. It's big news,
and yet
all we're hearing is crickets, and it's just amazing.
But did that happen, or is that a resolution that's going to the National Convention?
Well, the fact that it passed, and here's a piece, and maybe Aria wants to jump in on this. I do. It's the top of the hour, though. It's KKCR, Hanalei, KAQA, Kilauea, Kauai Soapbox, Marshall and Felicia on Kauai Soapbox with Mahana in the studio. What happened with the superdelegate resolutions? All four counties had put that to the resolution committee. And there was a lot of senior members who were on that committee. And Aria, correct me if I'm wrong, but they pretty much did not accept any of the resolutions from Kauai. We had more than 10.
And so many people worked so hard on those and just really appreciative of all those people.
Yeah, and they were just not accepted, but without any real discussion, they just went, nope, we're not putting that superdelegate one on, just like the rest of ours. Is that consistent with your understanding, Aria?
I think it's a combination of things. I think it's a lot more complicated than just submitting a resolution to the committee and having them decide on it, yes or no. There's a lot of... qualifications that you need to have in order to have a resolution be considered for the committee. And I think that the committees were really unfairly stacked with Hillary supporters or Bernie supporters. And I hate having to like differentiate between the two, but that's really the best way we can kind of describe the two different fractions that were going on. But they really weren't having it with the superdelegate resolution, unfortunately. But we were able to get a minority report filed on the second day of the convention and have it heard on the floor.
Which is
a big
deal.
And we had a discussion and a debate on it. And thankfully, we had really awesome people like Dylan Hoosier and Patricia Wiestenhausen, who worked really hard to make sure that resolution was written properly and that it went through all the proper avenues to be able to get heard on the floor, called for a vote, and passed overwhelmingly with support.
Yes. And another thing that came up that was similar to that is there was, in the Rules Committee, there was a piece where they wanted to strike out the verbiage on home rule, allowing the county's home rule, which I think is very much a reflection of the agriculture pesticide issue. And so it had been struck out. And
it was a close vote, though.
It was a close vote, but we had to take a whole break for 40 minutes as that was discussed, because
painful breaks.
It was a close vote, and then so they had to go around and count the pieces. And Cliff Tsuji was there. You know, he's always warm and kind. He is an individual who, as a representative, and he's the head of the Agriculture Committee, he always completely shuts down. Mm-hmm. Our version of the pesticide disclosure bill, you know, no matter how many people fly over there. So I pointed it out to him nicely. gave him a hug, that, you know, he might consider how he's handling what he does there, because that's it reflects in this kind of, you know, conflict and peace. I hope he heard it. I don't know that it will make a difference. But that, what do you consider some of the other high points?
Of the whole election?
I was asking Aria, what were your other high points?
The fact that we got two national delegates elected
from Kauai,
to is really huge.
It is huge.
And
huge.
I want to say that Dylan got the most support from the Bernie voters, which was awesome. The Hoosier family obviously is just super strong on progressive values, and we just love the new leadership that's coming out.
They do so much for our island, all the Hoosiers. We really appreciate all of their commitment.
And then Therese from Maui. There was two people from Maui. Therese.
Therese, yes.
Lindsay.
And
she ran for
Senate
last time. And then...
And she will. She'll be a senator.
And then and I think she's running again, yeah?
I believe so.
And then Jason Eno from Maui. And then I think there was two from Hawaii Island. Did you guys know?
Raina,
where's she from?
She's from the Big Island.
Yep.
And Timothy Lahr is from Maui. He's the president of Maui Young Democrats.
So most all those people that we just mentioned are young Democrats. I think Therese might be considered an old Democrat, but she's not very old.
We're exactly the same age. So,
so how old is that?
We're both 39.
39. Mm-hmm. So that's 35 is where they cut the line. But... It's a young group that's going over there.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and the Marine delegates from the CD1 are also really young, and they were really instrumental in organizing the whole Bernie Sanders campaign on Oahu, too.
Mm-hmm. So who were they?
Asami and Cameron.
Who is it?
Asami.
Oh, okay.
And Cameron.
Oh, she's one of them. Okay, she's a young woman, and boy, she is sharp and... I have never met her before. Is she an immigrant, or is she born here? Do you know?
I don't know. It's kind of made... I think she's a local girl from Oahu.
Okay. She seemed to have her Japanese roots really, really strongly present. So I was really excited to see her bringing out her voice.
Yeah.
She seemed like a very capable and bright person.
Felicia, can I just say one more thing before I let you guys move on with the conversation?
Yes.
So I'm really excited about all the new energy that's coming to the Democratic Party. I think the national convention is going to be really excited, because I've been following this, and I think that a lot of other states have kind of had this progressive tidal wave come through with all this new energy. But I just want to say that, you know, it does take a long time for a political revolution.
Yes.
And it might take a few years in order to really make sure that our progressive values and everything that we believe for really get rooted and take hold in the Democratic Party, especially on a national level. So I hope that, you know, come July, if Bernie doesn't clutch the nomination, I hope that everyone that has voted for him and fought so hard and joined the party and has gotten so excited definitely decides to stick around and work within the party to make sure that the progressive values that he's brought to light into the national scale really get followed through in the future.
Okay, well, thank you so much. And thank you for all the hard work that you put into helping the election process.
Thank you.
Thanks for being a young Democrat and being there and being
yes.
a delegate.
Yes, if anyone else is listening out there under the age of 35, I'm the president of Kauai Young Democrats, and we'd love for you to join us.
So how do they get a hold of you?
KauaiYoungDemocrats@gmail.com, or you can find us on Facebook.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mahalo. Okay.
Bye.
And I want to really honor our underwriters, and Kauai Soapbox is made possible by listeners like you in partnership with the Copper Man.
KKCR listens to you. If you'd like to make comments or provide feedback regarding our programming, or to suggest programming you'd like to hear, go to kkcr.org, click on the contact link, and take our listener survey. or send us a letter at KKCR, P.O. Box 825, Hanalei, Hawaii 96714. Kauai Community Radio, listening to you.
The Copper Man. Copper, stainless steel, and galvanized aluminum. We specialize in ornamental and custom work and fabricate and install any kind sheet metal work, residential and commercial. Serving Kauai for over 30 years. We're still talking. HarryConti.com. That's HarryConti.com. Or 639-3456. PackYourTrash.org and SaveRCs.us.
KKCR, Hanalei, KAQA, Kilauea, K224CQ, Anahola, K284AL, Haleiwa.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of KKCR, its board of directors, staff, volunteers, or underwriters.
And mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio. So, we have, I believe, another caller. Aloha, you're on the air.
Hi, is that me?
It is you.
Hey, so wonderful job going to Oahu to the Democratic Convention. And I wish I could have joined you, but I just can't right now. So, I wanted to ask, it was my understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong, that when we all voted that the delegates had to support whoever the strongest nominee was, which was Bernie Sanders. Did they not vote yet? Is that what I'm understanding, that the delegates and the superdelegates? I'm hearing you guys say that, like, Brian Schatz and Maisie Hirono, they've kind of pledged their allegiance to Hillary. Does that mean that Hawaii hasn't voted yet for the Democratic nomination? Can you?
Well, yes, I can clarify that for you. There is something called the Democratic National Convention, and that will be happening, I believe, July 24th to July 28th in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. And so what happens is every state sends delegates to that, and then there's another vote. It's definitely not a direct democracy. It's how the primaries work. Primaries are like private clubs. And
yeah.
I mean, the primaries in terms of a party. So finding a Democratic or a Republican candidate, that's up to a private club to decide who they're putting out. There's other parties like the Libertarian. Somebody could be independent and just put their paperwork in. You could run for president. The thing is, it's very difficult to actually pull that off. There's all kinds of rules so that people don't go in and there's 35 names there. And what we've gone over before, and maybe we will have time to explain it again later, Marshall did some really good research on what happens if there's four or five candidates and nobody gets a majority. The way our Constitution is written or our Electoral College system is written, it can then be what's essentially contested. There's a whole system that it goes through, so it's not really a contest, but there's a system. So it's designed for a two-party system better than a three-party system. But what happens is we have this preferential preference poll, and so when that preferential preference poll comes up, and we had across all the islands, it was a 70-30 vote.
Right.
All the neighbor islands, it was a majority. 100% of the precincts had a majority for Bernie Sanders.
Very strong.
Right.
But it was 70-30. And so in this time when at the convention, they were stacked with Hillary people that were part of the groups, whether it was the platform committee, the resolutions committee, the rules committee. And it's possible to happen because most of the Bernie delegates were new. It was the first time they'd ever been delegates. And the Hillary delegates have been it a long time, so they understand how the rules work. And they say, okay, I want to be on the rules committee. I want to be on the resolutions committee. So they didn't cheat, but it happened that it was stacked by the establishment people because they know what they're doing. So,
right.
You know, it should have been, you know, maybe like a 50-50 balance, but it was, you know, arguably more heavy on Hillary than Bernie, and the room was more heavily on Hillary than Bernie. But,
and a lot of that was because of the different unions that were represented as well.
I don't think so.
No?
No. No, it wasn't. It was just, it was people sign up. You know, we were told, we were at the meetings, and they say, okay, if you want to be on this committee or that committee or the other committee, you need to submit and sign up. And so, I was a little unclear. I didn't sign up for a committee, so people kind of figured it out. And so I don't really know the exact numbers, but it was heavier for Hillary than Bernie, or
even though the preference poll is pro Bernie,
correct,
70%, yeah.
And then
will our senators? I guess they're the ones that are going to be voting. It sounds like Mazie and Brian Schatz. Do we write to them?
Yes.
Do you think they would?
Okay, so here's this next piece, Joey. There are what are called pledged delegates. So those are, like we just got done saying, Dylan is one, Patricia is one, Therese, right. Jason, we mentioned a handful of other names. Sounds like eight young people.
And they're all wonderful individuals.
And they're all wonderful, very passionate people. Those are the Bernie supporters. I did not, and they will be the delegates that go to Philadelphia. They have to pay their own way to Philadelphia, by the way. It might be young Democrats cough up some of the money. But for the most part, you have to pay your way. And we had to pay our way over to Oahu, and I want to give a shout-out and a thank you to the generous people who worked to soften that. You know, there was a lot of help from the community with plane tickets and hotel rooms, because I think, you know, my tab ended up being over $750. You know, it's expensive to go over there. And so that gives a bias to Oahu folks. And though, in all fairness to them, they had an algorithm to weight the neighbor island vote. So if they didn't have all their pieces filled, they waited it because they realized it's difficult for people to go. People are having to get on the planes to leave before, like Mahana had to leave before the resolution to get rid of the superdelegates happened.
Plus, it's expensive, like you said.
It's expensive. But so the bottom line is that, Marshall, look it up. What's the number? Do we have 15 pledged delegates? Like, those people will go and they will vote for, they will represent either Bernie or they'll represent Hillary, and it is not supposed to be their own
agenda.
And the reason that there is a vote put on there is because people will look to say who is the most persistent, who's the most likely to really enforce the change. And it went well. I want to give a shout out to Lori Ciccatello, because she's really wonderful. I'm not sure if she got voted into any particular position, but she was an almost. There was a number of people who put a lot of energy into it.
Marion McHenry. There's so many people that really, I mean, we did major fundraising, the Kauai for Bernie group that we're part of. People really put their heart and soul into making sure that you and I and people like us were able to be
there. That's right. I want to give a big shout out to Janice Bond. I mean, and right there I'm saying there was people who put their names up to be voted in, and it's really hard as a Kauai delegate to be voted in, because the people who are voting are all what's Tulsi Gabbard's group. So it's part of Oahu, Hawaii, Maui, and Kauai. So for us to have two people over there, that's a big deal. Because
that's huge.
It's huge, because usually Kauai does not have a delegate that's sent. And particularly for them to be young people going there, that is very much outside the norm.
And we were told that the new political correct way to address us is not outer island anymore, but we are neighbor island.
Yes,
not segregate us, as that we are the outsiders. We are just neighbors.
Yes.
And center is not Oahu. It's all of us.
Yeah. Did I say outer island?
No, you were correct. I'm just clarifying for our audience.
There's 25, Felicia.
One more thing I want to ask before, you know, you go on to the next caller is, Mahan, I think it was your Facebook page about Tulsi for vice president.
Yes.
True. I mean, Is she an actual, perhaps, consideration for the position? Because I just love her.
We love her. She's amazing. She sat and spoke with us. She addressed us.
Oh, she had such a powerful speech.
Biggest hug. If you see my new Facebook profile photo, you'll see myself with Tulsi. And she is what I would want. All that she represents is what I believe in. She's a decorated war veteran. She's strong in her beliefs. She's compassionate. She's very well-versed in foreign policy. And just a woman that has the potential to really run this country. And I want Tulsi as my first woman president.
She gave such a powerful speech, and she spoke to war, and what it was.
She's seen war.
She's
knows.
She's an ocean woman. Yes. She surfs, and she also knows the importance of the ocean and it's our marine life and how important that is. And here we've got all these different war games going on that I don't think she agrees with. So
RIMPAC and everything.
All sorts of positions that I really share with her.
Yes.
Yes. So here's the thing with Tulsi. I think she will be 35 by the time that Bernie is elected. By the time, but you have to be 35 to have that position. 34, 35 is very young for that. What I would hope and expect is if Bernie does get elected, that she ends up being a central player in the team. I would be very surprised if he picked her as the vice president, because when we have these positions, it is really important to have experience. Dick Cheney was really the person, not George W., who was doing all this work. I would say Hillary Clinton has been super powerful within Barack Obama's administration, doing, in my opinion, some of the worst of it.
Absolutely.
So, you know, he wasn't able to overcome her. Bernie is highly experienced, but I think in getting him into office, I won't be disappointed in him if he picks somebody who is more of a fiscal conservative.
Like Elizabeth Warren?
Elizabeth Warren, I love her. She's the same position as he is. Tulsi's the same position as he is. So usually what you see when somebody picks a vice president is that they will pick somebody who has strengths that they don't have.
Right.
So what it is you get a little bit of a balance. And so rarely do you get somebody with mirrored strengths of the same individual. Now, Tulsi offers something that Bernie does not have. He has not served in war. And George didn't, Barack didn't, Bill didn't. You know, we've had a string of presidents who've never gone to war. Ronald Reagan, I don't believe, went to war, did he? I might be wrong on that.
Not unless it was in a film.
Okay.
Hey, girls.
Yes?
I'm going to hang up because my cookies are burning and my radio's on inside. Love your show. I'm going to listen from the inside. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
So we have a notice to motorists, Felicia.
Okay.
There is a lot of rain in Kapa'a. The traffic is heavy. Okay. There's ponding on the roadway, and the recommendation is be careful.
Yeah, or maybe don't go if you don't have to.
Right.
Do we have a second line?
Joanna is still on the phone.
Oh, okay. Oh, my gosh. Okay, put her back on.
She's on.
Okay, Joanna, are you there?
And also,
Joanna, are you there?
Yep, she left us again.
Okay, well, I don't blame her. She's been on hold a long time. If she calls back, then I'll let her give a summation statement. I want to leave the line open a little bit because it's been busy, and so I've had a number of people texting me a little frustrated that both lines are full.
It was amazing on Oahu during the first day of the convention how Tulsi addressed us outside, you know, far away from the hotel itself. And after she finished speaking, there was such mana, such life force in the air. People say it like rarely rains in Waikiki. And when she finished speaking, the most beautiful light rain was falling on us all. And a lot of the kapuna and elders were going, wow, this is Keakua, like speaking of the, you know, real changes happening and just this beautiful, light, misty rain. And of course, we brought the rain back to Kauai with us, which we do.
So,
and just really powerful things happening that, you know, the elders of our community are going, wow, this is really big,
great.
Really big things. Yeah.
So, Joanna, you're back on the line. You've been holding so
yes,
patiently. So let me give you 5 minutes or so to give your strongest point on it.
Yes, thank you. Yes, basically, I just wanted to answer a little bit. The previous caller was asking about superdelegates. Just to clarify and make sure, the law in Hawaii basically establishes that, let's say, Bernie got 70% of the vote, therefore the delegates have to be 70% for Bernie, in the case of the pledged delegates, like you, like me, like Mahana, right? So the people going to Philadelphia, indeed, 70% of those delegates will be for Bernie.
Correct.
Right, but the lady was asking, I don't remember her name, my apologies.
Joey.
What about the, what's her name?
Joey. So she asked about the superdelegates. So there
right.
are...
So definitely, I would highly encourage her to call, to write, to tell the superdelegates who are basically, they are weighted. Their votes are weighted. Do you remember how much does each of the superdelegates...
There are 10 superdelegates, and there are 15 pledged delegates for a total of 25 delegates for Hawaii.
Yes, but each of those superdelegate votes is equivalent to a huge amount of regular delegate votes.
So, yes, Marshall's looking at something. What are you saying, Marshall?
Actually, there's 25 pledged delegates.
Well, he looks for that. So superdelegates are really super. Their vote is much stronger. But they are not pledged. They could actually change their vote at any point. The fact that these folks have, in fact, decided to support Hillary before, they say they're committed, but there's nothing bounding them. They could change at any point.
Yes, they could change at any point. So I think if what happens is on the next Tuesday, if there is a resounding vote for Hillary, I mean, excuse me, for Bernie.
Which there will be, in my opinion.
We will see.
We will see.
So if there is a resounding vote for Bernie, then I would expect that many of them will shift. If there is a resounding vote for Hillary, I would expect that they will not, regardless of whether or not... They're supposed to reflect us. And what I grasp from what I was being told is that if Hillary wins and they didn't vote for her, because it is clear it's not an anonymous vote, so if they don't vote for her and she wins, it will be very difficult for them to have any kind of authority or support in the choices that they make in Washington, D.C.
And it's important to know also, none of the two, neither Bernie nor Hillary, are going to have the amount of votes, the amount of delegates that they need to clinch the nomination. None of them, mathematically, is impossible, right?
No, I don't believe that's correct. Marshall will know better, but I think...
Oh, no, I've been following that. None of them. But what happened is so confusing, because if you watch ABC and NBC, all these other... what we call establishment media, they're always considering, they're always showing us the votes, including the superdelegate votes. Those superdelegate votes are not even considered until Philadelphia. And they're not even voting right now, because of what you were saying, they can switch.
That's
In the case of the governor, he's right now, and he's not even pledging for Hillary. He's undecided, quote-unquote. So basically, what you're seeing right now, Bernie and Hillary are apart by about 270 votes.
270 delegates, and I believe, and Marshall's going to look it up, I believe all Hillary needs is 90. Is that correct, Marshall?
No.
When
you look at the superdelegates. When you look at the superdelegates, and that's a confusion.
Joanna, let's let him answer the question.
What is the question, Felicia?
The question is, how close is Hillary to the number of regular pledged delegates is she to have hit the required amount where it cannot be contested?
Okay, I see. Let me find that out for you.
Okay, so we'll look. I don't think that
you can definitely certify that, but I've been following really, really closely this, and it's very confusing. And the reason there's confusion is because ABC, and especially ABC, since the beginning, they're showing you the amount of delegates, including the super delegate votes, and that's why we've been asking them to stop doing that. So I wish I could look for it, but he can also find it. Bernie's been telling everybody to not let them tell you what that it's over, because it's not.
Exactly.
It's going to have to be a contested nomination in Philadelphia.
It's by called.
By the time they go to Philadelphia, based on the statistics, right, none of them will have that amount of delegates that they need to be the nominee. Like in the case of Donald Trump, he already is.
He has
the amount of. Yeah, he definitely reached a magic number. But nor Hillary nor Bernie could at this point, based on the amount of states left.
Politics have become the new sports.
The delegates are going to have to vote. And his pitch is going to be, when he's in Philadelphia, he's going to be looking at the statistics and showing the statistics that as her numbers are going down, his are going up. As people have more time to get to know him, he's becoming a stronger candidate. So when you look at the polls, she is losing. In many cases, she's either at the same level as Donald Trump, or in many cases, she's losing. Whereas Bernie is beating Trump by 20 points in many cases. So that's going to be his pitch. So definitely it would be helpful to call our superdelegates and tell them when the time comes to support Bernie because of this, because he's a stronger candidate.
Well, and then you have that all of the investigations that Hillary Clinton is under.
Exactly.
What do we think about that? I mean, if these things are true, that she's being investigated about through the FBI, about these, you know,
well,
private servers and all this. Yes, but we will find out, and yes, we believe it's true.
No, she is under investigation.
I'm just saying if it proves true of what
you
she's
mean,
being
if she
accused
is,
of all this.
If she's indicted. Or
yes. So if she was chosen as the presidential candidate for the Democratic Party, and suddenly she gets indicted with all these different things that she's under investigation for, how does that make us look as a country, that we're having someone run for president that... I mean, she could be possibly even tried for treason. I mean, these are very big allegations she's under.
As well. I mean,
so that's huge.
The Clinton Foundation. Have you seen what's happened with the Clinton Foundation?
Yes.
Through the Clinton Foundation, there's so much stuff that is not porno.
Yes.
Do you hear about the 50% of the U.S. uranium output going to Russia at the same time that the Clinton Foundation got hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Correct.
Is just concerning, very concerning.
Now, is the Clinton Foundation a 501c3? Do we know that?
Of course it
was
is.
That?
Yes,
and
it
so,
is.
And 501c3s cannot participate in any elections. So that right there violates law.
Well, we aren't lawyers.
No.
And so I don't want to really go there because that is... You know, if that was the case, that would be, I mean, if what is happening there, they're able to manage this in a way where they're not violating that so directly. If they were, it would be much harder out there. I mean, it would be stopped. There's ways now, they have super PACs, there's different things. That's when we're talking about campaign finance reform. You are listening to KKCR, Hanalei, KAQA, Kilauea. Joanna, I want to be able to... open up the phone lines, because I see I've got another caller, and I'm actually hoping for a Clinton supporter.
So much. I appreciate so much your time. Thank you so much for spending time with us. And to everybody, please just keep your faith. Bernie can win. It's going to be a contested nomination. You can go to his website and find more about it. Just to really fast, the pledged delegates at this point, Clinton has pledged, this is pledged delegates, without counting superdelegates, because they do not vote until Philadelphia, if they do. He has 1,769, and he has 1,501. So that's how much he has. So he is really...
She's ahead by about 200. So thank you so much, Joanna.
Yes, thank you so much. Aloha.
Thank Aloha. You.
And you need 2,383 for the nomination.
That's what she needs?
That's what one needs.
So do we know what the numbers are for both candidates?
She just told us.
She just told us
the exact numbers. Okay, we have another caller. Aloha, thank you so much for holding. You're on the air.
Thank you. Thanks for a great show. I just wanted to share something that Joanne Yukimura said at the gathering before y'all went over to Oahu.
Okay.
And maybe one of you can elaborate. I just think it was really potent, and definitely praying for sure for Bernie Sanders to become our next president, and I feel it's really important for us all to believe and see that, and we know how corrupt the government is. So I believe Joanne said something to the wording of, if Trump becomes the next U.S. president, we will be in a national emergency. So I thought that was really profound, and I think it's really true. So thank you for the work you're all doing, and Let's see Bernie Sanders be our next president. Mm-hmm. Mahalo.
So that would have been an opinion of Joanne that is not a a fact that we would be in a national emergency. It might seem that way, but...
Do we believe that if Clinton became president, we'd be in a national emergency as well?
I think it would be kind of a smooth transition. And so, actually, I'm gonna speak out and say, no, it wouldn't. It would be more of the same, but probably more of what the direction that we're going in. And we've been in a difficult direction, and just as we're talking about, a lot of this stuff never makes the news. We hardly put the news out, and nor accurately. So
exactly.
There's a lot going on. I believe we have another caller. Aloha, thank you for calling. You're on the air.
Well, that's a good point. Some people would think you were suggesting we're in a national emergency right now.
Yeah, well, I'm of that opinion. Okay.
Yeah, because of the war. It was just Memorial Day, and they're showing Afghanistan and Iraq, and it's like the never-ending, you know, I'm from the Vietnam War generation, and it's just like it just never wants to end.
Right.
I mean, because like you were saying, politics is so corrupt, you know, like the banking systems and the corporations and stuff. It's kind of like it's the apathy of voting for anybody. It's just like who, even if Donald Trump became president, I mean, he's going to be receiving orders from somebody. You know, I mean, I don't know. It's a scary proposition, the lesser of two evils. I mean, I'm all for Bernie Sanders all the way. You know, it's really too bad. I'm glad you ladies are talking about it. It's really too bad that he couldn't have been the presumptive candidate. You know, anyways, have a nice day and thanks for the show. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Do we have a second caller on the line?
We sure do.
Aloha, you're on the air. And I also want to invite Hillary supporters to call in. This has been a very strong Bernie show. And I want people to feel welcome, and you won't get tortured. Okay, aloha, you're on the air.
Would that be me?
Yes, it is. Thank you.
Oh, I just want to say thank you very much for what you're doing right now. You're doing a service to the listeners of KKCR.
Thank you.
And it's a very well-educated, thought discussion, and it's open and it's honest, and you're allowing everyone to have a moment. And what's going on right now breaks my heart, because I know a lot about what's going on behind the scenes, and all I ask for your listeners around the world is to look at what the Clintons have done throughout the history and all the people that have lost their lives, starting with Vince Foster and Whitewater. And
Vince Foster was somebody who was
he was the consigliere, which is, anywho, he did not commit suicide. And I worked for the Department of State, and Benghazi happened on 9/11 in 2013. And Bernie is awesome. I can't stand when people say he's too old. Give me a break. Ronald Reagan had Alzheimer's when he got into the office.
But neither Trump or Hillary are young. They're all, I mean, Bernie's, what, 74, Trump 70, Hillary 69. They're all of the same generation.
Wait, excuse me. Where's Melania from Ukraine? She doesn't say anything. And Trump's children aren't going to be voting. Hello? I'm sorry. And then I heard that a fly got in his hair and couldn't get out. He died.
Oh, that's a bad death.
Okay, and I appreciate what you're saying. Let me get it clear, and then I have a number of callers.
I know, I do. And so, I just want to say hello to what you're saying. And
did you say you worked with the State Department?
The Department of State, yes.
What's the difference between the State Department and the Department of State? Is it the same thing?
Well, Yeah, it's the same thing. We just call it the Department of State. It's like, you know, whatever. Okay. Anyway, just saying thank you for what you're doing, and mahalo. And you know what I think for Hawaii is that everyone should just do the write-in votes, because by the time Hawaii is allowed to vote, the polls are in and it's over.
Isn't that how they do it in Oregon?
Well, let me correct on something with that. I believe
yes,
if you do a write-in vote, it might disqualify your ballot.
Not write-in vote. Like saying you're out of town because you're on the mainland or visiting your relatives.
Oh, you mean a mail-in vote.
No. That's called an absentee ballot.
Sorry.
Absentee ballot.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
I apologize.
That seems like
an
honest way to do things.
But if you write it in.
No, I think we're talking about the mail-in.
Mail-in
ballot.
I know. Okay. I'm sorry. I misspoke.
Okay, the absentee ballot. So thank you so much.
Yes, have a great day.
Thank you.
Absentee ballot.
Drive safe. Don't go through Kapaa right now.
Don't go through Kapaa. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
Bye. And before I take the next caller, I want to correct myself again because I misstated something when, because I had another person put this into me, when we did a resolution to eliminate the superdelegates, that is just a resolution that goes to the national group. It doesn't make it be something that's happened already. Aloha, you're on the air. Thank you so much for holding.
Would that be me?
It's you. Thank you.
Hi, Al from Kaloa. I was watching Fox News on Sunday morning, and the commentators, four commentators, very erudite, and I think very honestly were saying that Hillary's emails is a much more serious case than anybody in her campaign is willing to admit. And I thought they were very sincere. And I think it's going to take a miracle for Bernie to win, but miracles happen.
Especially here on Kauai.
I think he's going to do great a week from today. I don't know about New Jersey, but I think he'll for sure win the other five. So,
thank you for that insight.
Let's keep our fingers crossed.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Like Joanna said, keep the faith.
Yeah. Okay, thank you so much.
Aloha.
Aloha. So, a lot of changes. We might have another caller in here. I got all these people texting me and sending me different pieces of information, and I'm trying to pull up a piece of Bart Dame's speech. I guess that it is.
We're receiving messages of that we've opened the floodgates with this program at the moment, and I just want to encourage you all to get involved. This is our future we're speaking of. This is the future of the Keiki, of this island, of Hawaii, of all of the United States of America, of all the world. It's amazing how the entire world has gotten very passionate about this election, because as we all know, you know, the United States is a superpower internationally, and what happens here, our economy, our war, our whatever, affects the entire world, and that we are every moment making history. We've done it here locally, you know, through the introduction of Bill 2491, Ordinance 960, which is still to be enforced, and we just keep making changes on a local and a global level, and that's progressive action. That's how we, as Americans, are actually doing what this country was founded on, and that's standing up and having our voices counted, speaking our truth, using all the freedoms, like freedom of speech, that is just such a powerful reason that, you know, the Constitution was put in place, was to protect people like you and I, and give the voice to we the people, and not just the corporate oppressors or, you know, the different factions that have been against the people since the beginning. So,
right.
Shout out to the Founding Fathers.
Shout out to the Founding Fathers. Okay, well, I am having so many texts coming in that I can hardly even concentrate, so I'm going to have to stop taking them. I've got calls. Do they want to come on the air?
No, Felicia, she didn't care to come on the air, but there's somebody who's very concerned about the road situation in Kapaa. She said that the water is very deep in places. There's a car that's stuck, apparently obstructing traffic. The bypass is flooded. She said that it's about 10 miles per hour and a really bad situation. So I just want to pass on that. She was really, really concerned and wanted us to make it a point to get that news out.
Do we know how far backed up the traffic is?
No.
We don't know, but the flooding is on the bypass?
Yeah, and I think that the big important thing is that you can hydroplane, we could have accidents, so even without being backed up, it's the difficulty in driving, right? Sometimes you can't even see. I know you can get your windshield wipers going so fast you can't even see.
Right. Are we under a flash flood advisory? I should know this, but...
I haven't been paying attention the last hour. Maybe we could have another call or another eyewitness report from the area.
Yes.
That would be great. Apparently, it's a pretty big deal.
I am happening to hear from a Hillary supporter because we have been very, very, one-sided. We have one in here. Would you like to say anything?
Yeah, I think Bernie is.
Okay.
Trump Republican secret weapon, because he's only thing he's going to do is make it more difficult for Hillary to get elected. He doesn't have a chance of getting elected, but he can get Trump elected.
Why do you think Bernie can't get elected? Have you seen how he's had sometimes three rallies a day and that there's tens of thousands of people coming in the same state and the same day in different towns? It's really stunning.
Trust me. I'm old.
he's saying he's old, and I want to say that, it is a real generational shift of what it is. So the younger generation that is looking at their future, they're like, hey, we can't keep up with the wars. We can't keep up with a completely unaffordable way of living. The generation that is old.
They can go to Cuba.
Go speak into the microphone.
They can go to Cuba, North Korea, or China. I'm sure it's much better there.
Okay, so for the people who have more experience, they might have viewpoints that is based on experience more than hope. Is that fair to say, John? That the generational difference might be experience rather than hope?
It could be, but I think we got to play with facts too.
Okay, well, Jazz with John is up in 15 minutes. He does a great job, and we will be hearing from him too with the county council report. I think when we have this wellspring of people that are out and motivated and voting, I think if Bernie's not on the ticket, they won't go to the polls.
Well, and that's a really big thing. There's a movement called Bernie or Bust. Maybe some of you have heard it, that people are saying that they will not vote, period, or they will not vote for Clinton, or they just...
Or they'll vote third party.
Or they'll, yeah. Yeah. So that's an interesting concept. We've not had a three-party system, and a lot of people are wanting Bernie to run as an independent, because I know a lot of Republicans that actually support him.
Yeah,
and people in the military that are saying we want what he stands for, and that's a really big deal in our country.
I think that he has made the commitment that he won't do that.
Yes.
Because I think he is from John's generation, and he has an understanding of that. I see that we have Jonathan Jay in the studio too. Are you in here because you have an opinion? okay, because sometimes we have people waltzing in here. I need to tell everybody about e-waste. That's a really great program, and I think it's starting tomorrow, but we'll hear the new vendor.
Attention recyclers. Beginning June 1st, Kauai residents and businesses can recycle their electronic waste free of charge 6 days a week. E-waste will be accepted at the Puhi Metals Recycling Center Monday through Saturday from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Puhi Metals is located at 3951 Puhi Road, about a mile from the intersection of Kaumualii Highway. Acceptable e-waste includes computers and accessories, televisions, printers, office equipment, audio and video equipment, and handheld devices. All brands of e-waste will be accepted free of charge with no quantity limits. Services are provided by Resource Recovery Solutions, and e-waste is shipped for recycling to IMS Electronics Recycling in Washington. For more information, call the County Recycling Office at 241-4841, 248-241-4841 or visit our website at kauai.gov/e-waste. kauai.gov/e-waste. Help keep our garden aisle green. Recycle your e-waste.
Aloha, listeners of KKCR. I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now!, your daily grassroots global news hour, urging you to support Kauai Community Radio. As a beacon of free speech, KKCR has been broadcasting from their jungle shack and building community in the island since 1997. KKCR brings you Hawaiian culture and music, independent voices and choices like Democracy Now!, otherwise shut out from the corporate media. During this program, please show your love for KKCR by making an investment in the station that loves you and become a sustaining member. Your monthly support at any level will pay dividends all year long and ensure the continued success of Kauai Community Radio. From our family at Democracy Now! To your ohana in the center of the Pacific, mahalo for your support. It really does make a difference.
And mahalo, Amy Goodman. She is really a nice asset to Kauai Community Radio. Marshall, did you find out about the road?
No, I'm trying to call about road conditions. I'll keep trying.
But we know from our Akamai listeners that there is a pretty serious challenge. I'm looking at Jonathan Jay. Jonathan Jay, you know, come here, mic up. What's up? I can tell... he's coming in here, standing, looking like he might have an opinion. And we're probably going to have a caller in just a second, too. Hi, Jonathan.
Hey, I have a question.
Okay.
Earlier in the show, you were talking about Wikipedia and the information that Marshall was pulling from there about political parties. I think it was the different flavors of libertarianism.
Yes.
Yeah, and so you spoke about Wikipedia having a very clear bias.
Yeah, I mean, for me, Wikipedia...
So my question is, yeah, what is that? Because you said it real, like, in passing, and everyone's like, I was like, what is that bias that you see clearly? So I'm really intrigued about that.
Well, I would say it has a strong establishment bias. You know, when I have stopped looking at Wikipedia unless I'm trying to see what's the virtue of pears or something. You know, if it's a very neutral... topic, I look at Wikipedia. It very often undermines the credibility of things that you know, I know to be false. I mean, it'll say something that I know isn't accurate.
Maybe for some of our listeners that aren't on the internet, we can explain what Wikipedia is.
Well, Wikipedia is like the free encyclopedia, and wiki comes from wiki, like from Hawaii, it means quick. So right. Wikipedia is a quick lookup, and Google owns Wikipedia, and, you know, the media bias is like when you look at the donations that go to the Clinton Foundation or go to these things, they're all donating big and heavy,
to Wikipedia?
No, to the Clinton Foundation. It's so of course they're going to not say something positive about the libertarians. I mean, it's going to say they're anarchists or whatever. Marshall, do I have a caller?
We had just had a couple of updates about the traffic.
Okay.
Both of them indicating that the traffic through Kapa'a Town is not all that bad, actually. There's some puddles on the road, but traffic's moving. One person said they made it entirely through town in 20 minutes, so it's moving a little bit slowly, but no major snarls. Neither of the people that called took the bypass, so apparently there's significant puddling on the bypass. Maybe some, from our one caller, it sounded like a disabled vehicle, but going through town apparently is not much worse than usual in some rain at this point.
That sounds good. Mm-hmm. We've definitely been having a lot more rain, it seems, now than we did during our main rainy season, what other people call winter. It seems that there's definitely some climate change happening, and that's one of the things that we've been addressing you know, at the Democratic Convention, is that we are an island nation, and, you know, there's a lot of arguing about whether climate change is real and this and that, but we've been seeing here on Kauai, especially on the North Shore, we're losing a lot of shoreline. There's a lot of things that are happening affected from, you know, rising sea levels, the different El Nino, La Nina conditions, the potential huge hurricanes we almost had last year. There's a lot going on politically, environmentally, weather-wise, and
yep,
just very interesting.
And I think, though, like, sometimes, like, with the shoreline issues, I really like to get the mana'o of the kupuna on it, because the shoreline moves out, moves in, and some of what looks like erosion is because people have basically claimed 20 feet of the beach as their yard, and so they go in, and so it looks like it's erosion, but in fact,
correct, it
is just that coming back. I had a texter wanting to point out, like, the interest that we found there from the international people. This convention was at the Democratic, I mean, at the Sheraton Waikiki, and there were visitors from other nations that when they found out the Democratic Convention was there, they were really excited. These were young people, like, from Australia and India and Japan, and they're all Bernie, Bernie, Bernie. Yes. And so we, you know, used our sign and let them take pictures with it. And it was actually a very big deal to them, and they were really hoping that we would be voting against continued war.
Well, it's amazing just seeing just the young people rising up around the world and speaking in favor of Bernie. I mean, these are people that have nothing to do, again, with our election, but the whole world is just very passionate about this election. Like I said, politics have become the new sports arena. It's pretty nuts. And seeing all these millennial voters, people that are my age and older, they're like, I've never voted, I've never cared before, and how much this particular election, you know, and the recent local elections too, how many of us have just been very passionately involved in how one person can make a difference. You know, some people, they win or lose elections by just a few votes. It's, and not just the superdelegate votes, you know, locally. It's just, it's really powerful, and I encourage you all to get involved if you feel passionate about it, and to actually get out there and vote in the general election however you want, whatever feels in your heart. But what we just saw at the Democratic State Convention, we all voted for Tim Vandiver, or at least our group voted
well,
for...
Well, it was 6-6. It wasn't. It really was. I mean, it was 3-3. It was split.
But he won, is my point.
Okay.
And it was just really powerful to watch somebody that I voted for win, and how powerful that was, and just the amazing energy in the room.
And something I want to say that's important is the grace at which the people who have been in the party for a very long time, they might have been discouraged, they might not have been happy about it, but they were wonderful.
Yes.
I felt they were. I felt very gracious, not just the chair. She was amazing.
She was hysterical.
You
all would have loved her.
She was amazing.
Yes.
And then
serious and funny at the same time.
Serious
just perfect
and funny
for a chair.
And then what I found is that even though the Clinton supporters were the majority in the room, mm-hmm. it all just unfolded with acceptance, and, you know, the energy was mm-hmm. clearly with the young,
yes.
and clearly with the Bernie team. And it, you know, they had a growth of 38,000 members in the Democratic Party over that election,
which is huge. I mean,
and
that's historic.
It was their most well-attended meeting, and so I think, and they were telling me when I was going around and talking to them, they really had no idea the passion in the groundswell. And I think right. what they got out of it was these people aren't going to shift their vote. And what they were able to see was that it wasn't about the man, Bernie. It's not about this old man. It's about being, I don't mean to be picking on it. And no offense, John, I love you. I love John. But it wasn't about him being, you know, like an old white man.
It's not about John.
It's not about Bernie. It's about the message that's being spoken.
It's about we the people.
It's about we the people. And the thing with the generational difference is the people who are professionals, retired, their life is solid. And with this young group, their life is very difficult.
Absolutely.
And people are working two or three jobs and hoping to have a home. And
especially here in Hawaii, where the cost of living is just outrageous, and we still have $7.50 as a minimum wage. It's just amazing.
So as a Bernie delegate, I felt respected.
Yes.
By the Clinton camp.
Yes. Even if they didn't agree, they gave us respect.
They gave us
and
respect.
It was mutual.
And I liked how we ended with a big circle of Hawaii aloha.
Yeah.
And I
that's
just...
That's what really matters.
I felt like there was so much grace. And Jonathan, one last comment, then we're going to the county council report, and it'll be time for Jazz with John.
Yeah, this was ask if you could touch on Tulsi.
Mm. We've touched on her a lot. She was amazing. Mm-hmm. And her speech was... Powerful.
Just she is such an amazing leader.
What was her central
war? No more war.
No more war.
She's a war veteran. She knows what she's talking about.
So when she spoke, you know, the contrast between having Hillary speak about
four more wars.
No, speak about childhood education, early childhood education, and Maisie getting up and saying, "Hey, this is my good friend, so I'm going to vote for her. I like mm-hmm. her." And Tulsi getting up and saying, "Hey, my good friends are dying."
Right.
And both sides are dying, and we don't need regime change because it will follow us and haunt us for decades, if not a century.
Exactly.
So she had such a powerful statement. Her and Bart Dame, chicken skin statements. Okay, it's time to go because Jazz with John is up next, and here's the county council report.
Thank you, Felicia.
Aloha, I'm John Gordon for KKCR News. Here's the county council report for the week of May 30th. There will be a council meeting at 8:30 a.m. on Wednesday, June 1st. The meeting will be in the council chambers in Lihue, and here's some highlights from the agenda. The mayor submits his supplemental budget communications for fiscal year 2016-2017 and proposed amendments to the budget bills. According to the county charter, a public hearing was held on this on May 24th. The director of finance transmits for council information the period 10 financial reports, detailed budget reports, statement of revenues, copies of the period 10 financial reports as of April 30th, 2016 are on file at the county clerk's office. The county attorney requests authorization to spend funds up to $142,000 for special counsel's continued services for 3 civil and 1 criminal suit. These suits will also be discussed in a non-public executive session. The housing director requested council approval to spend $1,425,000 in National Housing Trust Fund funds to be made available by the Hawaii Housing Finance and Development Corporation to be used to provide grants to increase and preserve the supply of decent, safe, and sanitary affordable housing for primarily extremely low-income, 30% of area median-income households. Council member Conachero transmits for council consideration proposed amendments to the county code to allow for the construction and development of multifamily dwellings in all residential zone district. This is proposed draft bill number 2634 and is under bills for the first reading. Under committee reports, the Planning Committee approved as amended Bill 2627 for an ordinance to amend the county code by adding a new Article 5B relating to the Lihue Planning District. The Budget and Finance Committee received communications from Budget and Finance Committee Chair Conachero transmitting the proposed increases to and deductions from and other proposed amendments plus or minus sheet to the Mayor's Fiscal Year 2016-2017 Annual Operating and Capital Improvement Projects Budgets, and this was received for the record. This committee also approved Resolution Number 2016-35 establishing the real property tax rates for the fiscal year July 1, 2016 to June 30, 2017 for the county. The committee also approved as amended Bill Number 2625 for an ordinance relating to the operating budget and financing thereof for the fiscal year 2016-2017 operating budget, and they approved as amended Bill 2626 for the fiscal year 2016-2017 CIP budget, and these bills are both under bills for the second reading. Under resolutions is 2016-35 establishing the real property tax rates for the fiscal year 2016-2017 for the county. And the Budget and Finance Committee recommended approval on May 24th. Also under resolutions is number 2016-47, authorizing the mayor or the director of finance of the county to enter into an intergovernmental agreement with the State of Hawaii Department of Health for a loan from the State Water Pollution Control Revolving Fund for the LALE Wastewater Treatment Plant Improvements, and this is Project C150050-11. Bills for the second reading include Bill 2016-48, 627, Draft 1, a bill for an ordinance to amend the county code by adding a new Article 5B relating to the Lihue Planning District. The County of Kauai was the applicant, and the Planning Committee recommended approval as amended. For more information on meetings and archives, please visit the county's website. Until next week, I'm John Gordon for KKCR News. Aloha. And you are listening to KKCR Honolulu, KAQA Kilauea, or Kauai's community radio station. And stay tuned for Jazz with John, made possible by listeners like you. In